I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We ask the question this hour, if you hope to avoid divorce, what's the ideal age to get married? Our guest this hour has done studies on this. He is Professor Nick Wolfinger. He's a professor in the Department of Family and Consumer Studies and adjunct professor, Department of Sociology at the University of Utah. He's written several books, including Understanding the Divorce Cycle, Fragile Families, and the Marriage Agenda, and Do Babies Matter? And we'll be welcoming phone calls. You may want to look at your own life. Did you get married when you were young? Did you get married when you were older? Do you give advice to your children who are getting married or grandchildren? Oh, you're too young to get married. Or when you're thinking about getting married, why don't you think about this particular age? Well, what do the studies show? We'll talk about that and welcome calls at 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter is at K Dunn Show. Professor Nicholas Wolfinger, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. So, if you want to avoid a divorce, wait to get married, but don't wait too long. We've always heard don't get married too young, but we haven't heard, really, I've never heard until I talked to you, that probably the best time is the late 20s. Why?
I hadn't heard that either until I did this research.
Hmm.
Here's what motivated me. For years, we've known that people who marry young have higher divorce rates than people who wait. And for years, that had been the story, period. The older you were when you got married, the less likely you were to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that while we've known that for years, no one has replicated that finding recently. And so I had some national data available that allowed me to look at that relationship. And when I did, I was shocked by the results. Instead of a linear, just a continue, like a straight line relationship, now it's a U-shaped relationship.
Which means what? What does that mean?
Oh, which means that the lowest divorce risk is from the ages of 28 to 32, approximately. So if you marry as a teenager, you still have a higher divorce rate compared to in your late 20s. And so from your teenage years to your late 20s, the chances of divorce decline as you get older. But then after your early 30s, the chances of divorce start to increase again.
Hmm.
So Audrey Weissman of Slate has called this the Goldilocks theory of marriage. Not too old, not too young. Just right in the middle.
Yeah, but that just right in the middle is a pretty short time frame, isn't it?
Well, that is the late 20s is the median age of marriage in the United States now. So it's a short period, but that's when the majority, many people are getting married nowadays.
And that's changed significantly, hasn't it? Didn't it used to be 23, 22?
Yes, decades ago. We had saw the lowest median marriage ages in the 20th century in the 1950s. And since then, it's just we're getting married later and later.
Mm-hmm. What was it in the 50s, do you know?
It was about 20, if I remember correctly, about 23 for men, 21 for women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a reflection of a very good economy. A good marriage market, so that so there was a small cohort of people in the 50s. If that makes sense, the 1930s and the Great Depression had produced a low birth rate, and so that meant in the 1950s there were not a lot of people competing for good jobs. Soldiers were home from World War II, and they wanted to form. Wanted to get married and started families, and so people did so.
Mm-hmm. And how do you explain the delayed marriage age now? Late 20s is it's not late as far as I'm concerned. I got married really late. But the late 20s, is it because of the economy that people don't feel they have enough money?
That's a big reason. As I'm sure you and most of our listeners know, wages have stagnated, and declined over the last 40 years for people who don't have college degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And so people just don't feel like they can afford it.
So what is it that happens when you get beyond, say, 32? Your risk of divorce goes up fairly significantly year by year. Why? What happens at that age? What's different about that than late 20s?
Well, that is a $64 question, and that is much harder to explain. So the first step in trying to explain a finding in the social sciences is usually to look at all the other characteristics of the study participants that you can measure easily, like education, race, their own family background, whether they go to church and stuff like that, and see if that explains the relationship. And so when I do that, I've explained part of it. I've explained part of the Goldilocks effect, but only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the best ideas for why older marriage should produce more divorce is the notion of baggage. If you wait a long time till you get married, you've had more relationships, you may have had children out of wedlock, and this makes your life more complicated when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have those data, and so I test that theory. And again, that and differences in education and race and whether you're from a divorced family, that only explains part of the effect.
Hmm.
The other part is much harder to explain.
What about this? I found it interesting that you included, you might be kind of cranky and nobody wants to marry you. is that true?
No one wants to marry me. So that's possible. That if you haven't gotten married by your early 30s, you have to look at what's going on. And people at that age, the people who are still single at that age may represent a population who are not suited to marriage for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
They may be unconventional. They may have abnormally high sex drives. So in one way or another, they're not suited for marriage. And so people who aren't suited for marriage may take longer to get married, and once they get married, they may have more trouble staying married.
Hmm. And tell me exactly how much does the divorce risk go up past the age of 32? It's fairly substantial, you found.
Yes, so I have to open my research brief to actually give you a good answer there. But it is fairly substantial. It is, I believe, each year of age past 32 is about increases the chances that you'll get divorced 10%.
10%?
10%.
Wow.
But relatively, right? So if you're 5 years past 32, you're about 50% more likely to get divorced compared to someone who is 32.
Mm-hmm. And have you looked at...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 5%. I just opened the brief.
Oh.
So if you're 5 years past 32, you're 25% more likely to get divorced compared to someone who's 32.
Hmm. And have you looked at numbers beyond that, people who get married in their 40s or 50s or 60s?
So they're not... The data I was looking for only includes people up to age 44. So I would not feel comfortable talking about people in their 40s. But it's a fairly small number of people who are marrying for the first time past 40.
Mm-hmm.
And this study is only first marriages. Second marriages are a totally different animal.
Right. We're going to welcome phone calls from our audience. And, well, obviously the question that we ask, if you don't mind answering, is at what age did you get married? What about your children? Do you see this trend of their getting married later, perhaps for economic reasons? Does it make sense that there's a smaller pool of candidates when you're in your 30s or maybe you're unwilling to make a commitment or maybe you're kind of cranky and nobody wants to marry you? So that can happen to people who are in their 30s. Or there are a lot of people, and you might be among these as well, who don't feel as though you need to get married. So there are a substantial number number of people who live together. But the study shows that we do know, our guest says, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that people who marry in their 30s are now at greater risk of divorce than are people who wed in their late 20s. And this is a new development. Is that time period, the late 20s, the ideal time to marry? We certainly welcome your thoughts on this. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And let's go to a Facebook comment while the phone calls are coming in. Professor Wolfinger, Katie writes to us, my husband and I married when I was 18 and he was 20. We bought our home when I was 24 and had our first child when I was 28, our second when I was 31. I'm currently 31. We've been married for 12 years. I think making the first year, 9 years of our marriage to be about us and establishing our home and careers was vital to what has made our relationship last as long as it has. What do you say, Professor?
Two comments. First of all, let me remind you and all the listeners that this is only what happens on average. There's tons of people who marry as teenagers who have lasting marriages, and there are plenty of people who marry in the sweet spot, the 28 to 32 range, who get divorced. So what our listener has said is there's some truth to that. The divorce rate is highest within between years 2 and 4 of marriage. That's where you're establishing if you're compatible. That's when you're learning what marriage actually entails. So if you make it past 4 years, the chances of divorce go down and down and down as you establish history together.
Hmm. Well, that brings to mind, do you think that people ought to date each other for 4 years before they get married?
I can't speak to that. It makes sense, certainly. Data on dating aren't nearly as good as data on marriage and divorce, and so those ideas have been much harder to test.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Elizabeth in Richland Center. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi.
All right. I've been married 64 years.
Whoa, congratulations, Elizabeth.
Yes, congratulations.
We were married at 19 and 21.
Uh-huh.
Married 6 weeks, and my husband went away to Korea for 18 months.
Oh, my goodness.
What I find today is that when you go into a marriage, you have to make the commitment. You can't think down the line, well, if it don't work out, I'll get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not easy, and everybody goes through hard times. When we were young, we went through a lot of things, but there was nothing out there to help you. If you had anything wrong with your marriage and you went home, your mother sent you right back.
Hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Young people go into marriage, they have this big wedding, they go into debt, and they're in debt from the beginning. But you have to make the commitment that when you get the bumps in your marriage, and some can be very hard, you just... You stick to it. You're going to get through it. There are some things you can't get through, but most things you can.
Mm.
And you have to work together, but you have to respect each other and that you know you are married and none of us is perfect and everybody changes.
Yeah. Elizabeth, did you at any point think that maybe you were too young when you got married at 19 or not?
No, I never did, because I hate to tell you, I had the most romantic courtship you could ever have, and I tell my grandgirls, I don't know why you want to live with anybody and pick up their dirty socks and their dirty shorts before you get married.
All right, thanks very
no
much.
No way. He lived down the block. I could never wait for him to come over.
Thanks very much. Well, that's quite a success story, 64 years, Professor.
That's a great story. Congratulations to you, Elizabeth. I point out that when you married in around 1950, it was much more common to marry young. And the divorce rate was much, much lower. So youthful marriage at that in that era didn't produce the same bump to divorce rates as it does now.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So it was a much marriage, and indeed the whole world was a much different place. And so most marriages began in the 1950s, lasted. That's the case for my parents' marriage. They were married for 55 years. So that's the good part. The bad part is this. Back then, if you were in an abusive marriage, you were told to stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
You were told to stay in it, despite circumstances that today would instantly be recognized as grounds for divorce. So it's one of the great paradoxes of modern marriage that more than ever what we prize in our marriages is love. And that also means that we're willing to leave those marriages if we're not getting the love we feel we deserve. So it's a mixed blessing.
Lindsay in Green Bay, hi.
Hi. I was calling. I was married for the first time when I was 22 to my high school sweetheart, and we got divorced after a couple of years. And then I married to my husband now. We got married when I was 28. And to me, I feel like people grow so much between those years, and I know that in terms of human development, people don't even really understand time completely until I think they say they're about 25 years old. And I just feel now I have such a better mindset in terms of when we're going through a rough patch, knowing that it really is like a short thing and that it's going to go away pretty quickly. Whereas when I was 22, I didn't have that mindset as well.
Mm-hmm. And what else happens between 22 and 28? How else did you grow?
Well, I think you know who you are as a person a lot better. Yeah, you have more life experience, too.
Right. I think there's a lot of truth in that, that people do change substantially when they're just out of school or they're in the workforce for a little while. Those are still years, at least in this society, Professor, for growing up.
They are. And I congratulate you, Lindsay, on having put your starter marriage behind you and being in a good relationship now. That's why divorce risk goes down until you get to age 28. We're growing up. We're finding our place in the world. We're completing our education. We're starting our careers. We're just not changing as much from year to year.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. We'll take more phone calls momentarily. Our guest this hour is Professor Nicholas Wolfinger, and we're talking about 29 appears to be the best age for getting married. If you go past 32, your chances of getting divorced are quite a bit greater. And if you get married very young, they're also pretty great. So we're looking at that time group, or that age group, this hour. He's a professor of family studies in the Department of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah, also adjunct professor in the Department of Sociology, has written a number of books, including Understanding the Divorce Cycle, Fragile Families, and the Marriage Agenda, and Do Babies Matter? Our phone number, what age do you think is best for marriage? What about your own marriage? Did you get married at 28? Has it worked out well? Obviously, for some people it won't, but what do you think about that age is when you give advice, get married in your late 20s. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, Twitter at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls. Anne in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I had my first child just right after I turned 16. Mm. And a year later, right after I turned 17, I married the child's father. And we were married for about 6 years. It was a very abusive relationship. So then we broke up. And I was single for several years, got married again. I never had a problem finding someone that I liked and falling in love and getting married. And the first few years were always really good. But then I would just feel like I don't want to be married anymore. So now I'm in my third marriage. We're separated. And I'm 57. And I'm just enjoying being alone, enjoying spending time with my kids and my sisters and going places and not having to worry about, you know, what somebody else wants to do or what kind of mood they're going to be when they get home. And my kids, my two sons, my older son waited until he was 30, and my younger son waited until he was 34 to get married. And they seem to be more like pals, or, I mean, they're, you know, they're romantically in love, but they're friends. They're just all really friendly with each other.
Mm-hmm. And why was it that you wanted, I can understand the early marriage, that's very young to have a child too. Why did you marry twice again? Did you just like the idea of being married, or was there something about marriage that was of great value to you, Anne?
Well, the second man that I married was an Albanian Muslim, and he was very fun, and I enjoyed being with him, and I liked learning a new language and the culture, and I think I got caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were so different. We were just so different. And then the third time, I know for sure, I got married just for security.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good job with good benefits, and I thought, okay, now I'm going to be okay. I don't have to worry anymore.
Right. Professor Wolfinger.
But now I'm on my own, and I'm not worried anyway. I mean, I'm taking care of myself, and I get a lot of, I'm happy that I'm able to take care of myself.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing. Professor Wolfinger.
Well, studies are very clear. Most Americans want to be married. The overwhelming majority will marry at least once in their lifetime, about 85%. And also, married people do better on virtually every measure. Married people live longer, are happier, healthier, have more money, have better sex lives. It's not for everyone. I'm 49, and I'm not married myself, and I'm content not being married, but most people want to be married, and most people enjoy marriage.
And we thank you, Anne, very much for your call. David in Egg Harbor, hi.
Hello. Yes, my daughter just got engaged last night. She's 19.
Mm-hmm.
I met my wife when I was 19. We've been married for almost 30 years. And in response to what the previous caller and the guest said about there's so much growth in your early and mid-20s, my point is to that effect, but in a different way, that if you've committed to a person, that growth is then together as a couple. And you grow as a couple and become more melded as a couple. And my wife and my marriage is as solid as could be. We didn't have children until we were 30.
Mm-hmm.
But you have time to grow, therefore, as a couple. I'm just interested in the thoughts on that. Mm.
And I'm interested in you, the dad, the future father-in-law here. What did you think of your daughter's announcement? Did you say, oh, you're too young, honey, or considering that?
Her fiancé came to me yesterday. They're visiting from California.
Uh-huh.
And he, like I did, and I said, I appreciate your tradition. He asked me the day before. He asked me for my blessings, as I did for my wife's father. And just the traditional aspect of it is to me, two young people who are going to grow together rather than find yourself as a person first and then try to mesh with somebody else who has found themselves. I think it's equally strong to say when you are still forming your adulthood, grow with somebody who is forming theirs and you can form a stronger union.
Yeah, well,
I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Interesting point. Professor Wolfinger.
Well, that's certainly, there's something certainly to that. That may be why people who are marrying past their early 30s are having trouble in their marriages today.
Yes.
But the question the research raises is this. That's true today, but it wasn't true 20 years ago. What's changed so much in America? Why is it that 20 years ago you were less likely to get divorced if you married a 40 than a 30? And why are you more likely today? I can only speculate at what's going on there.
Well, how do you find out for sure?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
How do you find out for sure what the reasons are?
It's very hard. It's very hard to know. I can tell you what some of my speculations are.
All right.
Think of the fact that we're waiting so long to get married now. We're waiting until we're almost 30. Since the median age of marriage has risen so much, maybe there's some sort of demographic pushback. Everyone who's maybe that just includes all the people who married by 30 or the majority or 32. Just includes the majority of people who are well suited to a happy marriage, and the people who are left in the pool are people who are less likely to do well in the marriage. Here's another possibility.
All right.
People today who are getting married for the first time, say at 30, they were born in 1985, whereas 20 years ago they were born in the 60s. Maybe somehow the experience of growing up has changed. People are exposed to different influences in their youth. Maybe growing up in a time of more divorce and more children born out of wedlock has somehow produced a different experience when people finally get ready to marry themselves. Again, only speculation. It's mm-hmm. hard to answer these questions with data.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, David. Alana in Milwaukee, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to add to the discussion about the development of individuals across the lifespan. And I believe that maturity has a lot to do with whether or not a couple will get divorced. And it seems that the more recent generations are moving across the development of the lifespan and accomplishing those developmental tasks at a slower rate than some of the previous generations. And I do believe that that may contribute to some of the higher divorce rates.
Do you think that we keep children as children for too long a period of time, Alana?
Exactly.
I'm not a psychologist, and so I'm not well positioned to speculate on development and how it's changed over time. But I will point out that every generation looks at the generation after them with suspicion. You know, we look at their culture, their music, their clothes, their addiction to social media, and we all look at it with suspicion and conclude that it can't be good. Still, and this will surprise many listeners, the divorce rate has been declining in America since 1981.
Mm-hmm.
That was the period of highest divorce. Then people were, about half of all marriages would end in divorce. Now it's closer to 40%. So not all of the developments with respect to the family have been negative.
And thank you, Alana, very much for your call. Meredith in Eau Claire, hi.
Oh, hi. Say, I just kind of wanted to relate my own personal experience.
Sure.
My husband and I were teenage sweethearts. We were engaged when we were 17. All through our senior year of high school, we got married 6 months out of high school. And we'll be celebrating 38 years in December.
Mm.
We had three kids before we were 24 years old, or close to 24. And it's just, for us, we wouldn't have done it any other way. You had mentioned earlier in the show, you know, having the kids young when you have a lot of energy. That's what we found. I wouldn't have wanted to be an older parent. That's just my own personal thought, but I really wouldn't have. We had three kids in 3.5 years. We were done by the time we were 24. We were empty nesters by the time we were 42, and we've been living the good life.
That's great.
So,
how did you do all of that financially? Were you lucky in that regard? Was the economy great, Meredith, when you got married?
No, we lived on farms. My husband was a herdsman on dairy farms for years. We were like gypsies. We moved around. We just placed a lot of stock in our family life. We did everything with our kids. We found activities to do with them that at the time didn't cost as much because gas wasn't as expensive. But we visited just about every state park in Wisconsin. We went on picnics. You know, we were outdoors all the time. And we gardened. After we got off the farm, we had a huge huge garden in town, and we just, I did a lot of canning, a lot of freezing. We just made it work.
Right.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. It must have been something, though, to have 3 children in 3 years. You were one busy family for a while.
Well, and it was great. You know, it just was. And our, but on the other flip side, my daughter was 20, our daughter was 25 when she got married. And the boys were, I think they were each about 21.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys married gals that were each 5 years older than them. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, it, and they're, everybody's still married and has families, and we're just doing our thing. But I know we're not the normal as far as my husband and I go, but we're happy.
You're
so
happy. I can hear it. Thank you so much. Thanks, Meredith.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, bye. Well, that's a good story, Professor Wolfinger.
Yes, it's great to hear all these nice stories about couples that work.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing I've been thinking about is people talked about having their long marriages. How much money people spend on their weddings today. About 7 years ago, I saw that the average marriage cost over $25,000.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's insane.
That's a lot of dough.
Yeah, and so a lot of people, I think, are delaying marriage until they can afford that big-ticket wedding.
Well, you don't have to have one of those.
No, you don't. I repeat that point to all my listeners out there.
Right. Shouldn't have to cost that much. Let's go to Tracy in Whitewater. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to call about the maturity factor and getting married older.
Mm-hmm.
I was 27, and my husband was 32. And we've been married 27 years now, and our first child was born with special needs, and so I think that when you're a little older, you may have more the emotional ability, maybe even the financial ability, to deal with that issue in your life and not be so young and not know what to do, and it may be more traumatizing
mm-hmm.
to somebody younger. So, and so we got married in '88 when... So anyway, I just wanted to make the comment that when you have a special needs child, now we have 3 kids, but having children older and then having one that requires a lot more effort
right.
and mental energy.
Right, which is never easy. You do need a certain level, I think, of maturity. It's easier to raise a child when you're a little bit older, I think. What do you think, Professor Wolfinger?
Oh, I think definitely. I mean, the most recent caller is definitely married at just the right age for maximum marital stability. You're more mature if you're younger. You may have more energy for child rearing, but then you also want to go out with your friends. You're more willing to stay home and be a parent and be a spouse when you're older.
Right. Thank you so much, Tracy, for your call. Lewis in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lewis.
I was curious if any of your research had to deal with, like, an age gap in couples. I mean, I'm 30, and my girlfriend's 15 years older than myself. I mean, she's been married twice, and I've never been married.
Professor?
Oh, yes. I think, in general, large age gaps make divorce more likely, just because the spouses are different. They have different life experiences. They're different developmental stages, but again, only on average. There's plenty of people of large age gaps who do just fine.
Thanks, Louis, for your call. We'll take more in a moment. We're talking about a recent study. Our guest is Professor Nicholas Wolfinger, that looked at when is the optimal age at which to marry. And he has found that it appears to be in your late 20s, that there is a increase in the divorce rate when you get beyond the age of 32. It doesn't really look at older marriages, but it looks at this time period for reasons, and he's looking at the numbers, not the reasons necessarily for this, so we can speculate about those and come up with some interesting answers. But late 20s appears to be the best time. If you get married at that time, you're more likely to stay together. What do you think? 800-486-8655 is our number. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy in Grafton, our next caller. Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, when I was only 14, my mom got killed by a drunk driver.
Oh.
And I was the oldest of six kids. Our baby was three. But my husband, he was there. He saw what happened. He helped get her into a building and so forth and so on. But I always knew him. It seems I always knew him. And so when we got married, I was 18 and 2 days old, and he was 22 years old. Well, Bob and I have been married now 62 years.
Ooh.
We had 14 children.
Oh, my gosh, you're serious.
And, you know, I didn't have a job until after my 14th child was born. I always wanted to be a nurse, but since Mama died, I had to take over on the farm and took care of the housework, you know. And so I went to be a nursing assistant after that because I always wanted to be a nurse, but I didn't have an opportunity to go to school and all that. So anyway, here I am now at 62 years of age, but I think with us, my husband also had no mother. She died when he was only 13, and he was the oldest, too. And they had a three-month-old baby and their family. But the thing is, we have always, always gone to church. We have never, we have been very devout Catholics, I guess I should say. And to this day, all six of my brothers and sisters are all alive. We're all doing well. And I just think, you know, you can get through a heck of a lot of hard times. My husband worked a lot of times 100 hours a week, you know, construction work and concrete and cutting trees. And he really worked hard. And he's still doing very well. But I'm going to get a new knee tomorrow. So.
Oh, good for you.
So that's the only thing. But, you know, just young people, I think they need to hang in there and not to give up and have a little, you know, little religious life. I don't care where they go to church or how they believe. But, you know, there's greater powers than we are. And that's my story for today. Everybody.
You're quite I can't believe you have 14 children,
that's
Nancy.
One at a time,
anybody
I said,
do that?
Practice, practice, never learn how to make twins.
Oh, my gosh. That's just a lot
that's
of children.
Joke.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine. I have no children, and I can barely take care of myself.
14 children. Isn't that something?
Great. I'm glad you shared that story. It's the subject of my next book that's coming out at the end of the year, co-authored with Brad Wilcox, and we look at religion on the effects of marriage and divorce, and that's just what we show. Couples who attend church regularly are more likely to get married if they're not married, have happier marriages, and are more likely to stay together. And like the caller, it doesn't matter what church you go to.
Hmm. And why do you think that is?
Well, we look at this some in the book. Part of it is you have a community of like-minded people. So you have support if your marriage gets into trouble. You have a pastor who may be able to provide some counseling or refer you to professional counseling. That's certainly part of it. There are probably also just belief. And this is harder for us to determine, but belief, having faith, is helpful.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Good luck with your new knee tomorrow. Just go to therapy. Go to therapy. And it just takes a little while. Jane in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I am just calling to get your guest thoughts on my personal theory that I'm gathering from my personal and limited experience, including that of my friends. I waited until I was in my early 30s to get married, and I can look back now and see that I honestly settled because I was under the pressure of wanting to have a child, and I have many cohorts find themselves in that same position that are now divorced, as I am, we kind of look back and we're like, yeah, we probably married this guy because we kind of felt like the time and the pressure was on to start a family. And I just like feedback on that.
It's certainly happening. Women are certainly getting married because they hear that biological clock ticking. Some aren't. Some are looking to have a child whether or not they have partners. It plays a part.
Thanks, Jane, very much for your call. And do the statistics show children? Let's talk a little more about children. Jason wanted to know if research takes children into consideration. If you do have children and you're in your 30s, does the divorce rate change at all? Are you less likely to get divorced if you have children then or not?
Children, interestingly, have relatively minimal effects on both the divorce rate and whether you're happy in your marriage. So spouses who have children are no more or less happy than couples who don't have children. Now, that having been said, if you dig a little deeper, there are some effects. So the divorce rate goes down when you have an infant in the house because who wants to leave right after that? The divorce rate goes up a little when children are teenagers, because I'm told teenagers can be difficult. And most fascinatingly, the divorce rate is a little higher for couples that have a girl than a boy.
A little higher?
Yeah. So a girl produces a higher divorce rate than a boy in the house.
Why in the world would that be?
Well, here's the theory. The mother can bond equally well with both boys and girls. The fathers bond great with the boys. They bond well with the girls, too, when they're young. But when the girls become teenagers, then it's harder for the father to connect with them. Teenage girls can be emotional in ways fathers don't understand. For our listeners who watched the TV show King of the Hill, there was an episode in which this was played out when Hank Hill, the protagonist, had to take the neighbor's daughter to the store because she had her first period, and he won't go near the aisle where they sell tampons and sanitary napkins because the whole idea is so discomforting to him.
Huh.
And so I think it's harder for fathers to connect with teenage girls, and that produces dissension in the house. It's not a big effect, but it's there.
Trevor in Madison, hi.
Hi. Just wanted to call in with my experience. My wife and I got married last year, and I was 29. She was 28, so we're right in the zone of what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Our wedding did not cost $25,000, but nowhere near. But kind of our experience was it just didn't seem like a good idea up to that point, only because, I don't know, I guess you'd call it prolonged adolescence. Going through college, it seems like everyone has to go to college now to get a job. You know, a degree is like a college degree is like a high school diploma now, so you have to do that. Once you leave college, you have a whole kind of in-between jobs while you're trying to find what will be your career. And by the time that's all settled, you are 27, 28, or 29. If you go through all those steps the way it seems like you should, you don't have time prior to that, to our age that we are now. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how it all worked out. I mean, we're happy and we love each other, but it just possible until last year, and that's what it seemed like anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, you married at the right time, according to this research. Happy marriage,
yeah,
Trevor.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it does.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Professor Wolfinger.
Well, many people do marry their high school or college sweethearts. And so it's a good place to meet people. So that's certainly going on. But I would, respond to the listener by saying that only about 35% of Americans are four-year college graduates. So still most people aren't graduating. And there's a big marriage gap in America. If you're a college graduate, you're likely to get married and stay likely and likely to stay married. If you don't have that college degree, you're far less likely to get married and you're more likely to get divorced.
And so this is a concern. It's a social problem that we have this marriage gap, and you know, it helps to explain why we have such an unequal society. It's not the most important reason, but certainly one reason that America has grown more unequal is the marriage gap.
Thank you, Trevor. Great to hear from you. Mary in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. My parents had the biggest effect on my decisions in life, and I think they were married over 71 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I always said the hardest two jobs I've ever had in my life were being a wife and being a mother. When you think how educated we are for everything else, there aren't a lot of classes. Yes, you can go to marriage counseling and so forth, but there should be more, I don't know, education or something relating to being a wife or a husband or a mom or a dad, because I had such wonderful role models. My parents never argued, not in front of us, but they were there for us for everything, every event, every school conference, and followed my children as well. And they were such a tremendous role model. But you look at the divorce rate, and a lot of young people, I think an earlier caller said, well, if this doesn't work, we can get a divorce. You know, your mindset isn't where it should be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly had your parents as your teachers for your being a
yes.
wife and mother, and it sounded like they were excellent teachers.
They were.
Mary.
They were. And the other comment I wanted to make, my first marriage, I got married at 20, and my husband was 21. Got married halfway through college, wouldn't have done it again, but it worked, but it was difficult. You know, we were young and in love, but didn't have a lot of experiences. Tragically, he died in an accident after 18 years of marriage.
Oh.
And I remarried, and my second husband and I are much more alike. We're more mature, of course, when we got married at 40. But it's easier also when you marry somebody that you have a lot in common with. They say opposites attract. They probably do, but it makes the road more difficult.
Mm. Thank you so much, Mary. Professor Wolfinger, you said not true.
Well, think of the conflicting folk wisdom we have. Is it birds of a feather flock together, or is it opposites attract? And the answer is the former. Social science has demonstrated repeatedly that we tend to marry people similar to us. We tend to marry within our racial or ethnic group. We tend to marry someone around the same age. We tend to marry someone around the same level of education. There's even marriage based on likeness, based on family structure. People from divorced families are more likely to marry each other, as I show in my first book.
And we have time for maybe one more phone call. Tammy in Illinois, Freeport. Hi.
Hi. I feel a little different from some of his statistics. My husband and I, we met 18 and 19, which blows my mind now. We were together 4 years before we got married, and we have been married 28 years. Both our parents were religious. Both my parents were married twice. His are still married. Unhappy marriage, so we didn't have good role models. I think we had some dumb luck. He and I are both atheists. We raised our children atheists. And we're still just as happy and as passionately in love today as we were at 18 and 19. We say even more so now. So I don't know how we lucked out, but we do have a lot in common. So I think compatibility plays a lot. We didn't marry quick, and we have a lot of the same opinions and values, right down to our opinions on religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
what about those values? What about, do you have to agree politically, Professor Wolfinger?
I don't know, but I'd like to find out. I can tell you from our research, this will make a lot of my listeners unhappy, and as a liberal, it didn't make me happy, but Republicans appear to have happier marriages than Democrats. This is research that I've just done with my colleague Brad Wilcox that we haven't released yet, but I'm curious about that. Certainly shared values help.
Sounds like it could be used for a campaign theme song. Right. It does. Thank you very much for being with us this hour. Our guest, Professor Nicholas Wolfinger, professor in the Department of Family and Consumer Studies, adjunct professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of Utah. Thanks to K.P. Whaley for producing the hour. Scotty Myers on air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy marriages. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.